This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. The passage from God's Word that we'll consider today is taken from a letter we call 2 Corinthians. We read from chapter 4 where Paul reminds the Christians in Corinth there why he continues to preach the Word of God to them in the midst of their trouble and their persecution. Paul writes this: "Since we have that same spirit of faith which corresponds to what is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken,' we also believe and therefore we speak. For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and bring us together with you into his presence. In fact, all this is for your benefit, so that as grace increases, it will overflow to the glory of God as more and more people give thanks. Therefore, we are not discouraged. But even if our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. Yes, our momentary light trouble produces for us an eternal weight of glory that is far beyond any comparison. For we are not focusing on what is seen, but on what is not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal." This is God's Word. In the name of Christ Jesus, dear friends of Christ, Christopher Knight has been called the last true hermit. Christopher Knight spent 27 years living in the deep woods of Maine, all alone. And he would have spent even longer there had he not been eventually arrested for stealing food occasionally from cottages that were on the outskirts of those woods of Maine. Christopher Knight was entirely content living in this extreme solitude for nearly three decades. The most human interaction that Christopher Knight experienced during the 27 years was to return the word hello to some hikers that he passed by in the woods one day. That's it. Otherwise, entire complete solitude, no human connection and contact. The life of Christopher Knight is kind of an interesting one. A book has been written about him, and it's become a bestseller. So what is it about men like Chris Knight, hermits like this, that people find so fascinating? I think it's this. I think it's that he's so different from the vast majority of the rest of us. Who of us would willingly, gladly want to leave our house and our family and our job at the age of 20 and live for nearly three decades all alone deep in the woods? But this is what Chris Knight did and would have kept doing had he had the choice. So we are people that need human contact. We thrive with human connection. We suffer without it. There's a reason why solitary confinement is one of the most severe human punishments out there. Without human contact, there's so much missing from our life, from our mental and our emotional state of being, our well-being. During these stay-at-home orders, and maybe even during the Stay Safe Minnesota order, we've kind of felt that missing piece from our life, haven't we? We've felt that missing human contact. Because built into every human is this desire for human connection, this desire to be accepted, this desire for community, this need to be with other people, to love and be loved. And this is not an accident. This is something that our own Creator put into every human being. This need, this desire in all of us is also something that the Lord provides some satisfaction for. The Lord gives us a human race, and he makes us humans that have that need for connection so that a man and a woman, they would commit themselves to each other, and they would enjoy companionship and they would help one another out and encourage one another. And in part, that is a way that God satisfies this need for human connection, for the need to belong and the need to love. God also provides for us in that he gives husbands and wives the ability to have families, to have children where there can be that human connection and that love and that acceptance and that forgiveness. Again, in part, satisfying that human need for belonging and love. God gives us the church so that people can gather together and have a common bond of faith where they can be fed and they can encourage one another on this journey of life together. The Lord creates that desire and that need inside of us, but then he also gives us blessings, gifts that can satisfy those desires. But marriage, family, the church, in and of themselves, they are not enough. Isn't there still this kind of longing, this somewhat empty feeling? Isn't there at least this small void inside of each of us, even if we had all three of those things, that longs to be filled? Reality often falls short of our expectations, right? Because often we expect the impossible of things like marriage and of a family and of our connection with the church. As if meeting just the right husband or wife is going to, you know, fulfill all of our dreams. As if having a home and 2.35 children is going to just perfectly fulfill life's picture. As if finding like-minded individuals in the church to connect with and to find support and encouragement with, as if that is the be-all and end-all of life. For unbelievers in the world, that is as humanly close that they can possibly get to earthly fulfillment in this life. But is it ever enough? No. It will never be enough for any human in this life to be married, to have a family, to belong to a community of life, of like-minded individuals. Name any other human earthly pleasure. As fulfilling as those things are, they will never be enough to satisfy that little empty spot in our hearts. In fact, in a way, we humans set our sights far too low if we expect these things to satisfy that emptiness inside of us. This is a point that C.S. Lewis made in an essay that he calls The Weight of Glory. Here's what Lewis said. He said, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with earthly things, when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased." And that is why, no matter what earthly fulfillments that we have in this life, we're going to always feel like something is missing. Okay, so what is it? What is it that ultimately can fill that void in our hearts? Well, Lewis calls it The Weight of Glory, the title of his essay, and that's a phrase from our lesson here, our passage from 2 Corinthians 2:4. Now, C.S. Lewis admits, this whole concept of glory he struggled with for a long time. He wondered, what is the big deal about this concept of glory? What is glory? It's God's fame. It's God's reputation. It's this radiance of light that emanates from God. So what? Big deal, Lewis said. But then this changed everything for him and his perception of glory. He found out that this glory of God is not just God's, but that he shares it with us. He gives it to us. It becomes our glory, our fame, our radiance of light. God gifts it to us. Here's what Lewis says. He says, "For glory means good report with God, acceptance by God, response, acknowledgement, and welcome into the heart of things." Glory is God's full and free acceptance of us. You see how this kind of is starting to relate to that emptiness that's inside of our hearts? This is what every human being ultimately is in search of to find fulfillment in their life. Acceptance. Real and true acceptance by God. And even more than that, God gives even more than just acceptance. He gives commendation. He commends us. "Well done, good and faithful servant," he will say freely as he welcomes us into heaven. Just give some thought to all the things that we do in life striving after that fulfillment. Just think of all the striving, all the fretting, all of the things that we really search after, and the tireless efforts that we go through in life in search of acceptance, in search of fame, in search of respect, in search of approval and of love. We chase after all of those things, which to some extent can give us some approval and some fulfillment, and yet it'll never be enough. But true approval and real approval has been found only in Jesus Christ. That he won God's approval of us on the cross, that his perfect life lived on our behalf covers over our sin-filled lives. And God rejected him and condemned him instead of condemning and rejecting us, who deserved rejection and condemnation. We gain acceptance from God only through the blood of Jesus that covers over us. And so you see, this is that acceptance. This is that approval that all human hearts long for, whether they know it or not. Lewis puts it like only Lewis can. He says this: "Apparently then, our lifelong nostalgia, our longing to be reunited with something in the universe from which we now feel cut off, to be on the inside of some door which we have always seen from the outside, is no mere neurotic fancy, but it is the truest index of our real situation. And to be at last summoned inside would be both glory and honor beyond all our merits, and also the healing of that old ache." And so, have we been accepted by God through the merits of Christ? And so do we have this promise of glory, this promise of God's approval of us in Christ. And it ultimately, in complete fulfillment, awaits us in heaven when God will accept us into his presence forever. Right now, though, this is just the promise of glory. This life is full of trouble. It is the next life that is full of glory. Now, Lewis calls it this. He calls this the inconsolable secret. The Apostle Paul calls it the weight of glory. It is glory to come that far outweighs any trouble we could ever experience in life. Why is it a secret? Well, it's a secret because we have not experienced it fully to be able to even understand what it really is. Why is it inconsolable? Because nothing in this present life could bring the kind of fulfillment to us that only that glory can. That glory in real time, that approval and acceptance of God into heaven. Allow me to let C.S. Lewis speak a little bit more to this. He'll speak to how any pleasure and fulfillment in this life is just a faint shadow and an insufficient one of that glory that is to come. Lewis says this, "Now, if we are made for heaven, the desire for our proper place will already be in us, but not yet attached to the true object. If a heavenly, eternal good is our real destiny, then any other good on which our desire fixes must be, in some degree, fallacious, false, insufficient. It must bear, at best, only symbolical relation to what will truly satisfy. For they are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited." Boy, Lewis could put things like no one else. He waxes eloquent on this, and yet he waxes eloquent on this on the basis of Scripture, on the basis of this passage of our consideration today. Because Paul was saying this in 2 Corinthians 4. Here's what Paul said. He said, "Therefore, we are not discouraged. But even if our outer self is wasting away, yet our inner self is being renewed day by day. Yes, our momentary light trouble produces for us an eternal weight of glory that is far beyond any comparison. We are not focusing on what is seen, but on what is not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal." This weight of glory that awaits us in heaven, this is what gets us through life's toughest turns. Knowing that God waits for us and waits to welcome us like this beloved prodigal that returns home, that is a great consolation. And yet, do we not also groan under the weight of waiting for this glory? Do we not also long for that true consolation that is only in the glory that is to come? And so this side of heaven, it remains for us an inconsolable secret, because it is one that we have yet to fully uncover. One more point that I'd like to share with you, again from Lewis. He speaks about how we also bear the weight of our neighbor's weight of glory. Our neighbor's inconsolable secret weighs upon us, because we know that he, like we, longs deep in his heart for approval, for acceptance, to be loved, and to belong somewhere. He longs for that acceptance and approval that can only be given by his God and his Creator. We know this. We believe this. We may know it even better than our neighbor knows it. We're in on the secret. And so we know this, we believe this, and so just like Paul said to the Corinthians, we believe and therefore we speak. If we know this inconsolable secret, where true approval and true fulfillment in Christ can be found, then we speak. And we tell our neighbor of it. We tell them of the true consolation found only through Christ. We point them toward that glory that he purchased for them and that he wants to award them in heaven. And then, as Paul says, this grace will increase in them and will overflow to their giving thanks to him in faith. We believe, and therefore we speak. My friends, in this life full of trouble, there's a deep longing in all human hearts for acceptance and for approval, a longing to be loved. And that desire is even in men like Christopher Knight, the last true hermit. This side of heaven, it remains an inconsolable secret. It is that promised weight of glory which remains inconsolable because it has not yet come to us. And so as we move through this season of life, and as we move through all of the seasons of life, may the troubles of life feel light and momentary in comparison to that glory that we look ahead to. And may our neighbor's weight of glory propel us as it weighs upon us to them to share that news of the glory that is to come. Let me leave you with one last thought from C.S. Lewis. At present, we are on the outside of the world, the wrong side of the door. We discern the freshness and purity of morning, but they do not make us fresh and pure. We cannot mingle with the splendors we see, but all the leaves of the New Testament are rustling with the rumor that it will not always be so. Someday, God willing, we shall get in. The door on which we have been knocking all our lives will be open at last. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.